Lawrence Howard, starring Peter Davison, Matilda Ziegler, and Jeffrey Whitehead.
Lovely. Right then, Ruth. Will you carve or shall I?
Why don't you?
Do you prefer breast or leg or bit of both? Or shall I opt for the more conventional torso?
Look, you can start the autopsy however you like.
Everything all right, Ruth?
I still cannot believe we're spending Christmas Day in the mortuary.
I think that's an unhealthy attitude. Remember, Ruth, postmortems are not just for every other day except Christmas. They're also for Christmas. And besides, Graham had very little choice but to call us in. Look at them all.
Oh, I suppose you're right. These poor people, there was no way for them to go, was it?
Being crushed to death in a department store on a Christmas Eve afternoon.
Interesting to note that they're all men.
It must have been an appalling scene. Like something from the film Jingle All the Way, but slightly less grim. My daughter made me see it with her.
Oh, surely we could have just shoved them all in the freezer until the day after tomorrow.
That would be far too risky. You know how busy we get in here after people have spent 3 days with their families.
Yeah. It's still pretty miserable that this is what we find ourselves doing on Christmas Day.
If I'm being honest, I'm rather grateful. Margaret and her mother are in Cyprus again, and I probably wouldn't be allowed to help at the old people's home this year.
Why not?
Apparently my appearance there last year ruined everyone's appetite.
How?
I gave a running commentary while carving the turkey that was deemed too anatomically detailed. Will you be seeing your family at all?
My sister's having her usual Boxing Day party, though what a bad-tempered affair that always is. Within 5 minutes of sitting down to Uno or Pontoon or some other card game, you're guaranteed one of us will have stormed out in tears.
You really shouldn't take such games so seriously.
I know, but Granny does not play properly!
Oh, now, Ruth, you know that thing you were mentioning to me yesterday evening, the thing you wanted someone to...
Oh, that.
Well, I've managed to sort something out for you.
Oh, how did you get this? It's Christmas Day. Everyone's sharp.
I have certain resources. Aren't you going to open it? Well, what's the verdict?
Oh, it's wonderful. Anthony, this is the best Christmas present I've ever had. A piece of paper telling me I'm not pregnant.
Congratulations, Ruth.
I am without child. The Lord be praised. Thank you, Anthony. What would I do without you?
Oh, well, it's nothing. It's hardly the first time I've analysed your urine.
Isn't it?
So, anyway, are you going to tell me now who you thought the father might have been?
Oh, I suppose I owe you that. It's this guy I met on an internet date. We went out a few times, but eventually I realised he wasn't quite right for me.
Why not?
Mainly because he possessed none of the characteristics with which he'd described himself on the internet. A shame, though. I would like to go out with a real astronaut. Oh, wow, I'm so relieved. Imagine me, Tony, with a... I was absolutely convinced I was pregnant.
I could do a B-test, just to be sure.
No, there's no need.
Sergeant Oliver's just rolled up with another body for us, but seeing as we're full, I'm going to send him away.
No, can't we find a space somewhere?
Dr. Webster, we've no room.
There's a little portable storage unit round the back of A&E. It can go in there.
Well...
Oh, please!
All right, I'll go and tell him.
I still can't believe Graham's made you come in today as well, Chloe.
He hasn't made me, Dr. Anderson. I have made him agree to an extremely attractive triple-time pay package. Very handy at this time of year. I've got a lot of aunties, you see, and Bailey's is not cheap. Besides, my family wanted me to come to them and my Liam wanted me to go to his. That way, at least, they're equally snubbed.
Well, look, I'm glad you're getting something out of it, but I do think it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, none of us is going anywhere for a while, so we'll just have to make the best of it. The professor says he wants us to have our own little Christmas Day right here.
What? In a mortuary? A load of blank, dead faces staring back at you, inert bodies slumped all over the place.
Has a kind of Queen's Speech vibe already.
Oh,
Oh, no, I like working on Christmas Day. It's prestigious to police major holidays. I think it's a sign of my popularity within the Met that I'm always assigned this one in the rota.
Oh, but don't you miss the family meal, the exchange of gifts, the sense of being loved?
I do, but on the plus side, the driving conditions are a dream. Those roads out there are absolutely deserted, not a soul around. Now, I don't mind telling you that I have taken the chance to bump my way over a fair few of my sleeping colleagues.
Can't you just switch your siren on and do that whenever you like?
I'm a policeman, Dr. Webster, not an ambulance driver. It's important I maintain my status at all times.
Morning, everyone.
Gordon, you as well. I can't believe he's made you come into work.
I know, Dr. A. It's ridiculous. But I've just got to get on with it like the responsible adult that I am.
Good for you, Gordon, and Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas? I thought it was late November. I always do this.
Do what, exactly?
Lose my memory for the first 3 weeks of December for no particular reason. I bet I've been to loads of office parties and fancy dress do's. Oh, and I love Advent.
Oh, well, at least you woke up in time for today.
I can't take the credit for that. Simon found me sleeping in the portable storage unit round the back of A&E.
A most felicitous Noel to you one and all. And may I say how grateful I am to you all for helping the department out on this, the Morn of Morns.
Graham, I'm surprised to see you here.
Did you really think I would allow Professor Donaldson's little helpers to slave away here in his grotto of death? I'm going to pull out of this metaphor now. Did you really think I'd just leave you to do all the work whilst I sat at home sipping claret and roasting my chestnuts?
Yes. That's very specifically what I thought you'd do.
Then you misjudged me. I've always been happy to make personal sacrifices. My personality has a distinctly ascetic side to it. And besides, the larger the turkey, the longer the cooking time. And this year, Joanna has procured a beast. A central lemon will be barely tepid. Ah, would you all like your presents?
You really didn't have to buy us presents, Graham.
Yes, buy me one. It's in the contract. Not to mention the pop-up card I've already eked out of him. Anyway, why are you complaining? Presents are fun.
Mine aren't. I've always chosen presents that have genuine symbolic meaning, and I believe the value of my gifts should be judged by that measure rather than by how much I spent on them or whether they came from a proper jeweler's. So, who wants theirs first?
Me.
There you go, Gordon.
Wow! Thanks, Professor. A set of whiskey miniatures. All of which are empty. I didn't drink them all myself just now, did I?
No. Their emptiness represents the futility of excess. Aren't they fun? Now, who's this one for? Oh, Dr. Anthony Webster.
A watch, and I must say, rather a nice one.
It's a very nice one, Anthony. And broken.
Of course it is.
Irreparable. Its hands motionless and that little date indicator thing frozen. This gift teaches us that unless we change with the time, however technically accomplished we may be, we are useless.
Thank you, Graham. I feel $1,000,000.
Chloe, here's yours.
CD tokens. What do these represent?
Money. For spending on CDs. I couldn't think of anything for you.
Oh, let's just get this over, shall we? We do have work to do. Right, here's mine.
Actually, Ruth, I was intending to give you yours in a more private... I can explain.
Lingerie. Why have you bought me lingerie? Oh, I see. To indicate the flimsiness of the external trappings with which we clothe our spiritual nakedness.
That's right.
It's quite nice, actually. Thank you. And at least I'm in a position to wear this sort of thing. Not like if I was, I don't know, a mother, say. I bet I wouldn't look attractive in this if I had a baby tucked into the waistband, would I, Anthony?
Doesn't do it for me.
Well, That's everyone, then, except for Simon, of course. I haven't forgotten you.
Oh, well.
I just haven't brought you anything. After all, you don't actually work here, so no Donaldson treat for you.
Yes, all right, Graham. Don't rub it in. Simon's looking smug enough as it is. Don't really have time, Graham.
We're barely a third of the way through our work.
Please, Anthony, Ruth, just a few minutes. This is important. It may not quite be the traditional version, but this is our Noel repast, and we must honour it appropriately. Now, let's have a little hush.
We thank thee, O Lord, for providing food for us on this, your special day. Not for you, Lord, the easy way of doing it, by ensuring that the canteen would actually be open. No, that would be too obvious for your wiliness. So instead, we thank thee for these chicken and stuffing-flavoured potato crisps. Harvested from the vending machine through your divine providence and Chloe's boot. We thank thee for giving your servant Gordon the imagination to offer us this map of Turkey. Even though it's blatantly not edible. And we thank thee for Dr. Webster's comment that we all eat pate and surely a liver is just a liver. Though we've decided against pursuing that line of thought. For these and all other items upon which we're about to snack, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen.
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 Let's get stuck in.
Don't you need to be back home by now?
Oh, don't worry about me. I take rather a commando approach to my family at Christmas. I dive in, then dive out. Coming back now is just what they'd expect me to do. Besides which, I shan't be content till you're all filled with the spirit of Noel. Simon, you don't seem to be eating anything.
I've rather lost my appetite.
Why's that?
Dr. Webster's liver comment was certainly a factor, but I think it's more generally a scoffing nuts in the presence of carrion problem.
Well, it's a fussy eater. I bet you don't like eating sprouts in the mortuary either, unless Mummy puts ketchup on them for you.
Don't make me think about ketchup.
Well, anyway, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to get on with the postmortems.
Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it? You go off and play with your corpses, if that's what makes you happy.
Can't we let some of the others go home? There's no reason for Chloe to hang around unless she wants to.
Well, of course I don't want to. I'm not one of those people who always do weird things on Christmas Day, like picnicking in the woods or going to church. But I'm not giving the Professor a get-out-from-our-deal. He will get his 8 hours, and I will get my shortbread.
Anthony, I don't want to come across as dictatorial, but nobody is leaving until we all feel Christmassy.
Graham, I'm bored, depressed and nauseous. That's about as Christmassy as I can feel.
I understand your scepticism, but I'm going to prove to you that together we can have a perfectly agreeable and entirely normal Noel. So, Anthony, put that lung down and let's play games.
Dr. Webster, your time starts now.
Right.
It's a film.
Film, nine words. Nine words.
Shrek, is it Shrek?
Gordon, how could it possibly be Shrek? Do the whole thing, Anthony. Right, yeah, I don't know it, but is there a film called Big Weird Flappy Burke?
Time's up. This is pathetic.
I can't believe you didn't get that. It was so obvious.
What was it?
You're going to kick yourselves. Symptoms of triphenyl phosphate poisoning for industrial compensation cases.
Yeah, you were partly right. I am going to kick someone.
You must know it, surely. It's just about the most famous technical training video for pathologists about triphenyl phosphate poisoning in industrial compensation cases out there.
And at the end of round four, Simon the Prof and me have 9 points and Gordon and the Doctor are none.
I'm not playing this game anymore.
Bit of a bad loser, are we, Dr. Anderson?
I just don't enjoy being partnered with one player who's only seen 5 non-pathology-based films in the last 20 years and another who could genuinely think I was miming Larry Cotter and the Knobjet of Wire.
Perhaps we could take suggestions for alternative forms of parlour-style Noel entertainment.
How about Blind Man's Buff?
No, you're only suggesting that so you can blindfold yourself from the bodies, aren't you?
I am, yes.
I do have a Mr. Potato Head on me.
Well, that's a children's game, is it not? Such things tend to rely on the sort of naive wonder one only gets from infants.
Look at this! A spud with a tash! Oh, brilliant!
We don't want to play a children's game! Children's games are rubbish! When you have children, you probably have to spend hours with them playing boring games like point at the nice dog or smile at balloons. I'm well clear of that kind of entertainment.
Come on, everyone. More suggestions.
I have one. Let's play the letting Dr. Webster just get on with his work game.
You know, perhaps Anthony's onto something. Perhaps we're missing a trick in not thinking about amusements that actually utilize our working conditions.
What did you have in mind, Graham? The most authentic feeling game of murder in the dark ever? An all tibia version of Jenga? Twister by proxy?
Actually, I do have a game that's related to here. I devised it myself.
What's that, Gordon?
Mortuary top trumps. I made a different card for every corpse that came in here over a 3-month period and gave each of them marks in categories like height, weight, lividity, stench, fear factor, and special powers.
I don't think that
Oh, come on, Graham. Let's give it a go. I like a nice, harmless little card game.
Ruth, are you sure this is a good idea, given your...
I'll deal.
Okay, my turn. I've got the late Mr. Burr. Weakish card, but I will pick stench with a score of 41%. Can you beat that, Dr. Anderson?
This is the most corrupt game I've ever played in my whole life!
Do you want me to pick a deliberately low score next time, and then you can...
Do you want me to kill you? If you patronise me any further, I will kill you.
Calm down, Ruth. It's
Don't you dare even conceive of telling me it's only a game.
I think perhaps everybody we should show Ruth some sympathy for what I'm sure we'd all agree was a freakish run of bad cards she just suffered.
Thank you, Anthony. At least somebody here understands me, even when concentrating on a post-mortem, Anthony consents. I'm distressed, but just by my tone of voice, my body language...
And by what you've just done to Mr. Potato Head with his spectacles. Ruth, you need to learn not to get so upset by such little things.
No, I'm fine now. I'm calm. I can rise above anything.
Splendid, for that is, without doubt, the very spirit of Noel.
Would you please stop using the word Noel? It's Christmas. That's what the rest of the country calls it. What are you, some sort of French homosexual chorister?
Well, I'm sorry you haven't enjoyed our festive get-together, Ruth, although I think you'll find the rest of us are experiencing intense feelings of conviviality.
Oh, stop trying to play happy families, Graham. 6 strangers stuck in a mortuary on Christmas Day do not constitute a family.
Maybe the Adams family.
Do you know what's ridiculous about us? We act like we're all put upon, but we've all chosen to be here today.
Or the Munsters.
Gordon, you could be with your family right now, but you prefer to hang around the mortuary, even though no one's asked you to.
That's not a fair description of my thought processes, because until you mentioned them just then, I had forgotten I have a family.
Chloe, surely you could have decided that being with your boyfriend and your family was more important than earning a few extra quid, but no, here you are.
They'll be getting plenty of quality time with me on those 4 extra Tuesday afternoons I've got off in May.
Simon, I think you're an exception to the rule.
As I am in so many ways.
Because, bless you, you genuinely have nobody else in the whole world to be with.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be a compliment.
Graham!
I think you've illustrated your point with enough examples now.
You had the chance to leave hours ago, but...
But I didn't want to return home to the derision of my children. The violent sexual indifference of my wife. A dog in whom I've begun to detect sarcasm. Yes. Thank you, Ruth. We know you've got us all pegged.
She was certainly spot on with me. I did choose to be here today. Fairly safe bet, though. I choose to be here every day. No, I'm glad my work brings me happiness, because there could be nothing worse than being a pathologist who hates the job and has a non-existent personal life. Hey, Ruth? Ruth, have I said something?
Come on, Dr. Webster. Leave that man, or woman, I can't really tell at this stage. Leave him or her alone and get a Bailey's down your neck.
Right, I am more or less finished now, so go on then. From the look of all these empty bottles, I'd say you lot have got to rather a lot of the stuff.
Have we ever?
Yeah, we've not exactly stinted ourselves.
Enough to wet our lips, but really no more than that.
I hope this isn't because of what Ruth said about you all. Actually, has anyone seen her lately? I fear I may have rather upset her.
I told you, Dr. Webster, she was beating her fists against your chest playfully. She's probably just having a bit of a wander to clear her head and sew those two pieces of your tie back together.
Well, cheers, one and all, and to one and all, a happy Christmas. Come on, Simon. Yeah. Tell us about this sad existence of yours. Have you really not got anyone else you could be with?
No, not a soul. How dismal is that? My sister lives in Australia. I don't really see my parents anymore.
Why not?
They're anarchists. So when I decided to join the police force, that was a problem.
I remember having a particular stinker of a Christmas back in the late 70s. Joanne was so furious with me over some minor indiscretion I'd committed in Amsterdam. She would only communicate with me by means of messages and Christmas crackers. If I wanted to be past the sprouts or allowed to get up off my knees, I had to write it on the back of some pun about elephants. Eventually she gave that up, though, and instead took to pouring lighted brandy over my crutch. What are your Christmases like, Chloe?
Oh, the sort of normal family Christmases that most people in Britain have.
Yeah, and we thought we had the horror stories. The only one of us who seems to have coped with this festive season is Anthony.
It's a rare achievement for me. When I was still with her mother, Margaret used to say that I got more overexcited on Boxing Day about going back to work than she ever did on Christmas Eve. I wish Margaret was still... But I'm all right when I'm busy, which is why this year was so lucky. For a tragic event like that, with all those fatalities to happen on Christmas Eve, well, it's the sort of thing that makes you believe there really is someone watching over us.
And if it can happen for Anthony, it can happen for us. Maybe someday we'll all get our fantasy Christmas.
What would yours be like, Professor?
Do you know, Gordon, I think my fantasy Christmas might be something very much like this. Not true, of course. It'd be loads better, but you get the point. Cheers.
Hi, Tony. Has everyone else left?
Yes, they've all gone. Simon mentioned that he was thinking of randomly pulling up motorists and asking if they'd been good or bad. And Graham, Chloe and Gordon persuaded him to let them join in.
Yeah, there must have been rather a somber atmosphere in here after my outburst.
Actually, as soon as you left, we all suddenly started to have rather a good time. Not that the two things are connected. Where have you been, Ruth?
Oh, nowhere. Wandering. It is so silent out there, Tony. You know, sometimes if you're on your own at home on a Sunday night, it can feel like you're the only person left alive in the world. You wonder if you'll remember how to speak the next time you need to. You start thinking Midsummer Murders is actually decent entertainment.
I do know that feeling.
It's like that times 10 out there. Oh, maybe we've done it, Tony. Maybe we've autopsied the whole world.
Well, I've certainly finished the last of today's.
So you'll be heading home, will you?
Yes, yes. Off home to... Off home.
Same for Ruthie. Homeward ho!
Oh, hang on. I almost forgot. There's that extra one Simon brought in.
Oh, yes. Of course there is.
We could do that. I think he said he transferred it to one of the storage drawers. Here we are. Oh. Oh, dear, I didn't realise what kind of case it was. I wish Simon had mentioned what kind of case it was.
She was pregnant.
Evidently, yes. That really is very sad.
She's beautiful, isn't she? Don't you think she's beautiful?
I suppose so, although I believe beauty is more of an inner thing. That's me, though. I prefer innards.
Tony, you know that pregnancy test you did for me earlier? Strangest thing. I was so desperate for it to be negative, but when I opened the envelope, just for a second there, I think I wanted to be pregnant.
Did you? Why, you hate children. Weren't you asked to leave the obstetrics department for being rude about the baby's faces?
At that moment, I felt something completely different.
Right, I see. Alive people are so complicated.
Maybe if I had had a baby, it would have been good for me. I've spent so long complaining about how empty and meaningless my life is. Why don't I just do something about it? If I had a baby, maybe he or she would redeem my failed life, fulfill me, and complete me. I mean, that's not too much to expect from a child, surely.
People do thrive under a bit of pressure. Have you given any thought to the tediously mechanical question of who the father would be?
Well, there wouldn't be one. Well, technically, there would, obviously, but his involvement would be limited to some undignified activity in a small room with a beaker.
But would you really want to bring a child up on your own? Children need a father figure, even if there's no father there. You thought about involving some kind of stepfather, someone to share the burden, someone you know and trust, someone you'd like to be a part of your life.
Tony, would you be interested in...
Interested in...
buying off me a blow-up Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which I've noticed no longer matches my decor, was what I was going to ask you. Not important, obviously. Oh, look at the time. Perhaps I'd better be heading off.
Ruth, I might be, actually. Interested, that is. I'm not sure. I'm certainly not overburdened with inflatables. But I need to check first to see if I've got the space.
Of course, yes. You'll let me know, will you?
I will.
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Happy New Year, Ruth.
Starring Peter Davison, Matilda Ziegler and Jeffrey Whitehead, with Tom Price, Marianne Levy and Gus Brown. The music was by Paul Mottram and the producer was Dawn Ellis.